Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Ervin Daf Ayin. We're three lines from the top of the Amud. And the Gemara is going to discuss for us some halachas of Erev, actually some halachas of Bittel. And we begin with a shayla. Boi minei Abai Merabba, Sarah. Abai asked Rabba the following question. Chamisha Sheshruin Mechatzar Achaz. You have five people living together in a chatzar, and they established an Erev amongst themselves. Except for one fellow, V'shachach Echad Mehen V'le Erev. And one of them forgot to take part in the Erev. So now it's Shabbos, he'd like to make Bittel to allow them to carry. How is he meant to do that? Kishum Mevatel Rishusai. When he's Mevatel as Rishus, Tzorach Levatel L'chol Echad V'Echad. Is he required to approach each one individually? I'm Mevatel my Rishus to you, and to you, and to you. Oyloy, or perhaps that's not necessary. Why would I think it's not necessary? That's because they have already joined together through an Erev. The other people, that is. And once they've done that, they've become one community, one combined entity. So perhaps it will be enough for him to approach one of them on behalf of all of them, be mevatel to him, and that affects them all. Meaning whatever he gives this person becomes disseminated throughout this entire Erev configuration, Erev arrangement, and they all receive the mevatel's rishus. So that's the question. Does he need to go to each one individually, or perhaps it is sufficient for him to mevatel to one of them, and automatically that will be applied to the rest of the Erev members? Amar le tzorach levatel chol echad ve'echad. So Rabbi responded, yes indeed, he needs to go over to each one individually, and mevatel rishus to him. And the svar would be because, if it would have happened before Shabbos, then you can say that the fact that he gave his rishus to one of the Erev members automatically means that it becomes distributed amongst all of them. Because let's remember the Erev. And anything associated with it becomes activated during Ben HaShemoshes. But that's if it would have happened before Shabbos. Here, he'd like to make the bittel on Shabbos. So at this point, the Erev has already been activated, has already been configured the way it's been configured. And now that he's coming to add, to contribute, he's taking his rishus and giving it over to them. When he gives it to one of them, it won't automatically be redistributed amongst all the Erev members, because their Erev is already in place in the way it's been established during Ben HaShemoshes, and that can't change. Therefore, he needs to go over to each one individually and be mevatel his rishus to him. And that's Rabba's response. That is required. And otherwise, the bittel will not be received by all the other members of the chatzar. Eisveisu Abai Yest Makasha from a brisa, which seems to indicate that there's no need to go over to each one individually. When you're being mevatel to people who have an Erev amongst themselves, they're considered to be one entity. And being mevatel to one of them is sufficient for all. Eisveisu Yest Makasha from a brisa. The brisa will give us actually seven different scenarios of bittel. There's a ratio of the brisa, the first portion discussing four cases where bittel is effective. Then we have a second part, a seif on the brisa, with three cases where bittel is not effective. So the brisa begins like this. Echad shalei irev, and actually the raya that Abai is going to bring, akasha on Rabba, is really from the first halach in the brisa, so that's really the only thing that pertains to our discussion, but the Gemara will already bring the whole brisa and embark on a whole discussion, analyze all the halachas in the brisa. So the brisa begins with the first case being as follows. Echad shalei irev, if one person didn't make an erev. So there were three people, for instance, in the chatzar, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. And Shimon and Levi made an erev, and Reuven did not participate. So he'd like to go ahead and be mevatel rishus. Echad shalei irev. Noisen rishus le'echad shirev. He can approach the other fellow there who made an Erev. So Reuven, who didn't make an Erev, will approach Shimon, who had made an Erev with Levi, and will be mevatel rishus to him. Now let's just stop for a second. It seems from here that when you're being mevatel to people that really made an Erev, you don't need to go over to each person individually. Right? That's what Bryce is saying. You can be mevatel le'echad she'irev to merely one of those people of those two people that made an Erev amongst themselves. And this will be the raya that Abaye will bring to his shita, to Akasha, to Rabbah, that we see from here that there's no need to go ahead and mivatel to each person who takes part in the Erev. So that's the first case. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. Seven lines from the top. Echad shel Erev, says Rashi, Kigain, for instance, Gimel Diyurin B'chatzer. We have three people living in a chatzer. Hashnaim Erevu. Two of them participated in an Erev. V'ashlish shel Erev, the third one did not take part. Mevatel Echad Na'arvin. He can mevatel to one of those two people that have established an Erev amongst themselves. Umutar. And then it's mutar to carry in the chatzer. Why? The ha bahadi chaver irev, because the recipient of this bittel has an erev with his friend. So therefore, it's enough that you mivatel to him, and automatically that affects both of the erev parties, and they don't interfere with each other because they have an erev, so everything's fine. Alma apparently ain't tzarich levatel elu leechad. There's no need to mivatel only to one of them. The kulu havu kechad. So here Rashi brings out the punchline of the Svara. Why would I think it's enough to be mevatel to one? Because they're all like one entity. Since they've joined together with an Erev, we view them as one single entity, and it's enough to be mevatel to one member of that Erev. So that's the first case in the Braisa. Proceeds the Braisa with case number two. Shnayim she'irvu. We have two people that made an Erev with each other. Noisin rishusam le'echad shel Erev. If they choose to do so, they can go ahead and give their rishus. So nice rishus means bittel, right? You give away your rishus to a third person who didn't participate in the erev. They can do him a favor, give him their rishus to allow him to carry. Case number three is ushnaim shelo yirvu, two people that did not make an erev amongst themselves. Nice rishus and ushnaim shirvu. They can go ahead and pass on their rishus to two other members of the chatzar who have established an erev amongst themselves. So these two people will receive the rishus through the bittel, and they can carry because there's no interference. They amongst themselves made an erev. Oy, this is the fourth case. Oy le'echad shel erev. So again, the two people that didn't make an erev can be nice in their rishus to one person who hasn't made an erev because he's just one person and there's nobody interfering with him. He becomes the sole property owner of the chatzah. So we have four cases where bittel is fine, is effective. The Braisa proceeds with a seifa of the Braisa, giving us another three cases where bittel will not work. Aval bat ein echad she'irv, noisin rishusoy le'echad shel erev. A person who made an erev. So we have Reuven and Shimon who made an erev with each other. So Reuven, one of these two people, cannot go ahead to a third person, to Levi, and give him his rishus because He's not there by himself. It's Reuven with Shimon that made an erev with each other. So even if Reuven decides to give his rishus to the other person, to Levi, but unless Shimon also is mevatel the rishus, it's worthless. Since Reuven and Shimon have already joined together in an erev, it's a joint usage, it's a joint entity. And in this case, only Reuven is giving away the rishus. That's not enough. So since Shimon didn't participate in the bittel, it doesn't work. So ein echad she'irev, a person who made an erev cannot go ahead and nisin rishus le'echad shel erev to a third person who has not participated in the erev because only one of the two people that made an erev is doing the bittel. So unless the other person participates, the bittel won't work. Case number six, ve'ein shnayim she'irevu, and the same thing would happen if two people who made an erev cannot go ahead and nisin rishus le'shnayim shel erevu. They can't give their rishus to two people who don't have an erev. And the reason here is, although the two people who have an erev both went ahead and did bittel, so they gave everything away, but who do they give it to? To two people who don't have an erev. So as we learned yesterday, people who don't have an erev cannot be recipients of a bittel, because, fine, they'll accept the rishus. But now we have two people here who don't have an erev amongst themselves, and they're interfering with each other. And finally, case number seven is Vein Shnaim Shle Irvu, Noisin Rishusan, Lishnaim Shle Irvu. This is very similar. Two people who didn't make an Erev amongst themselves can't go ahead and give their Rishus b'mevatel. Their Rishus to two people who don't have an Erev, because here as well, the Mikablim of the Bittel, the receivers, can't carry because there's no Erev amongst themselves. They interfere with each other. So you have seven cases. We have a Resha with four cases where Bittel is fine, and a Seifa with three cases where Bittel doesn't work. Now, what pertains to our Gemara is as follows. Let's go back to that first case, Ketan Imiyas Resha. At any rate, the Brisa begins by saying, Echad Shalei Irev, Noisin Rishusay L'Echad Shirev. We have three people living in the Chatzah, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. And Reuven didn't take part in the Erev. Shimon and Levi do have an Erev. Reuven cannot go ahead. Reuven can go ahead and be mevatel his rishus to one of the other members of the Erev. So Echad Shalei Irev, Noisin Rishusay L'Echad Shirev. Says the Gemara, Hey Chidami, what are we speaking about here? Ida Lekachrina Ba'adei, if the person who's receiving the bittel has no one else there with him. He's the only one around. So we only had two people in the chatzah. We have Reuven, who is giving his rishus hazbim mevatel to Shimon. There's no Levi here. Bahadiman Erev. So what do you mean that he's giving it to Shimon who made an Erev? All we have is Reuven and Shimon. There was nobody else here for Shimon to make an Erev with. El pshita dikach nebadei. Apparently, there is somebody else there. There's a third party in the chatzah. So we have Reuven, who didn't participate in the Erev that Shimon and Levi made amongst themselves. Uktani in the Braisa says that Shimon could merely approach one of the two Erev members. Uktani le'echad she'irev. All he needs to do is be mevatel rishus to one of those two people. He doesn't need to go over to each one individually, to Shimon and say, I'm giving you my rishus, to Levi and give me your rishus. He doesn't have to do that. All he needs to do is go over to one of them, either Shimon or Levi. That's enough. So this is the kash that Abaye asked on Rabbah. Apparently, one has the ability to mevatel rishus to a group of people who made an Erev. And he doesn't need to go ahead and do it individually to each one specifically. All he needs to do is approach one of them. Because as Rashi said, tekulu habukuchad, regard them all as one entity. And this is pretty apparent from our Bryce. Says him of Rabbah. What's Rabbah going to respond and answer? Rabbah, who said that you need to go over to each person individually, he's going to say, we're speaking about the Hava Umes. Then initially, there were three people in the Chatzah. There was Reuven, who didn't participate in the Erev that Shimon and Levi made. So Levi was around Erev Shabbos, he made an Erev, Umes, and then he passed away on Shabbos. So that answers the question. There was an Erev here because there were two people there making an Erev. But right now, currently, one of them is no longer here. So that explains why Reuven could just approach Shimon and do the bittul because there's no Levi around. But if there would be somebody else here, if both Erev members would be around, of course you have to do it individually to each one separately. Says, if we're speaking about that the Erev partner was around, but now he's no longer here, passed away. Eima Seif. Let's take a look at the next part of the Braisa, which says like this. Aval ein echad she'irev. Noisin reshusoy le'echad she'irev. The Braisa says that a person who made an Erev, so let's say we have Reuven and Shimon, who made an Erev with each other, if one of them decides to mevatel reshus, he can't do that. Ein echad she'irev noisin reshusoy le'echad she'irev. He can't go ahead and approach Levi, who didn't make an Erev, and give him his rishus. Why? So the simple way to understand this halacha is because Reuven is not the sole property owner here. He made an Erev with Shimon. He's only a partial owner. If he just him going over to Levi and being mevat, that's not enough. Unless Shimon joins the bittel, Levi hasn't really received anything. Because Reuven is a partner with Shimon. So that's the halacha in the Brais. Ein echad she'irev, a person who made an Erev cannot go ahead and be nice and rishusoy le'echad she'irev. Now let's analyze. V'da'av ha'meis, if, according to Rabbah, What happened was that the Erev partner was around, but he's no longer here. So what's the problem? Am I loy? Why can't he go ahead and move out of Rishus? He's the sole property owner. Reuven and Shimon established an Erev amongst themselves, Erev Shabbos. At that point, they were partners. But no longer. Shimon is no longer here. He was here, but then he passed away. So Reuven remains the sole property owner. And now you can go ahead and move out to Levi. There's no other partner to the Erev here. So according to you, Rab, that the partner is no longer here, what's the problem? Am I loy? Why can't he be mevatel? Ela pshita. Apparently, we're speaking about the Issei, that his Erev partner is here. Okay. Umid the Sefer, the Issei. So, apparently, since in the Sefer, we're describing a case where his Erev partner is present, that creates complications, because it's not only his Rishus, he has a partner. Just his bittel is not sufficient. It doesn't address his partner's part in the chatzah. So that's the problem. The partner is here. If that's the case, reisha nami deisei. Let's assume that the case in the reisha as well, meaning that first case in the braisa, where a person who didn't make an erev is going to approach another person who made an erev. I mean, vatos rishus, and the braisa says he can do so. Even though he's only approaching and doing bittul to one of the Erev participants, Reishan Amidisi, apparently, all the participants of the Erev, all the partners are here. Nobody died. And still now, what do we see? That bittul is effective. Apparently, when you would be mevatel to people that have an Erev, you only need to do so to one of them. You don't need to address all of them individually. Doesn't want to know. It's not right. Meet the area. It's not a right. Hal kadisa, val kadisa. Each case is describing a different scenario. The reisha, first case there is describing a case where the fellow Arab member is no longer here, in which case there's no need to approach him. It's enough to approach whoever is here. And the sefer, where a person who made an Arab and would like to make bittul cannot do so unless all the Erev members are going to be mevatel. Is speaking where the Erev members are here, they're alive. In this case, the bittul won't work unless they all participate in the bittul. Says Marteda, this is Rabbi speaking. I'll prove it to you that what that you need to make bittul to every member individually. The Tani Sefer Dereisha, because the last portion of the first part of the Brayis tells us as follows: Ushnayim Shlei Irvu. We have two people that don't have an Erev, Noisn Rishus on the Shnaim Shirvo. They can be Mevatel Rishus to two people that have an Erev. L'Shnaim Ein, L'Echad Loi. The Braisa seems to be telling us very clearly that the Bittul needs to be addressed to two people, to those two people that made an Erev. L'Echad Loi, you can't simply go over to one of them and suffice with that. So this seems to be a clear Raya, says Rabba, to my opinion, that when one is doing bittul to a group of people who have an Erev, you need to approach each one of them and do the bittul. Says one, Vabai Omar, and Abai will respond as follows, that although the Braisa is saying that the bittul takes place to two people, the Braisa doesn't mean you have to actually be mevatel to both of them independently. My lebeis, what does the Braisa mean? That they are nice and they are shush to two, la'echon abeis, to one of those two. And that already activates the bittul to both of them, because they're both one entity. Says Mo Yehachi, that's the case. Listen to la'echot she'irv. Why does the Braisa say that they are nice and rishus to shnaim she'irvu? It seems to indicate that you need to be mevatel to both of them. The Braisa could have simply said they give their rishus to one of them, men erev, to one of the two erev participants, or la'echot shalai irv, or to one of them, or to one person who hadn't made an Erev. So why does the Braisa use these words which seem to indicate that you need to make the bittul to both of them? And according to Rav Shit, there's a makashi indeed, we leave this question unresolved. The wording of the Braisa seems to be difficult according to Abai. Okay, so in conclusion, we had a question where a person would like to be mevatel rishus to a group of people who have an Erev. does he need to approach each one independently? Or do we say, well, since they're already connected with each other, they're considered to be one single entity, and even if he's going to be matal on Shabbos, all he needs to do is approach one of them on behalf of them all. Abai says, that's enough. And Rabbi says, no, you need to be matal to each one independently. Abai had a kasha from the Braisa, and Rabbi responded that the Braisa is not a kasha because although the Braisa seems to say that you only need to be matal to one of the Erev members, yeah, says Rabbi, because we're speaking where the other member's not around, passed away. In which case, there's no need to do more than mimavato to this person that's around. Now the Gemara is going to proceed and analyze, review all the cases in this price, 7 cases in all. We have a ratio with 4 cases where the bittul works, and the safer 3 cases that bittul doesn't work. The Gemara is going to explain what is the chiddush of each case, what is the lesson being taught by each of these cases. Begins the Gemara back with the first case, Echad Shele Yiriv. So once again, this is the case where 3 people were in a chatzar, Reuben, Shimon, and Levi. Reuben didn't participate in the Erev that Shimon and Levi established. He'd like to make a bittul on Shabbos. Says the Braisa, he can do so. Echad Shele Yiriv, this fellow who didn't make an Erev, Noisin Rishusay Lechad Yiriv, can be Noisin Rishus to one of those people that made an Erev. He doesn't need to approach both. Explains the Gemara. Le'abaye de'ise. Koin te'abaye. Very simple. We're speaking even where both members of that Erev, meaning Shimon and Levi, who made an Erev amongst themselves, are here, are present, fully alive and awake. Still, Reuven doesn't need to approach both. And this is in accordance with Abaye's Chiddush, that when you do bittul to members of an Erev, you don't need to approach them both. The Kamash Malan, yeah, this is the Chiddush. There's no need to invatel to each one independently. That's the Chiddush of this halacha. However, the Rabba, you must say the Havel Mis, that Shimon's Erev partner, meaning Levi, was around during Erev Shabbos when they made the Erev Umes, and now he died. And he's no longer present. And that explains why Reuben only needs to be invatel to Shimon. He's not to be concerned about Levi because he's not around. But if he would be around, certainly it wouldn't work. You need to approach each one independently. So Rabbi interprets the Braisa as speaking as a case where the partner is not around. And what's the Chiddush? The Chiddush that we're not concerned that if we allow this, then perhaps one's going to apply the same concept in the case where Issei, where the Erev partner is present, and will neglect to do bittul to both parties of the Erev arrangement. No, we're not geizer, we're not concerned about that. We allow, in this case, where the Erev partner is no longer here, we allow the mevatel to approach only one of those two members. And I'm not concerned that he's going to apply it to a case where both Erev participants are present. So that explains the first halacha of the Brais. The second halacha is, Hushnaim sh'irvu. We have 2 people who made an Erev. Noisin rishusam lechash l'irv. They can pass on the rishus to one person, to the third fellow on the nechatzer, who didn't take part in the Erev. So they give everything away to him. Now he becomes the sole property owner, and the karen can take place. Says Rav Pshita, isn't that self-evident? Why would I think this should be a problem? It's pretty straightforward halacha. Perhaps I would think, even le'irv, since this third person neglected the Erev, he didn't take part in the Erev. What are you going to say? We should make a knas, penalize him. Bittul is not a way to go. He meant to make an Erev. The fact that he neglected to participate in the Erev, that should be a reason to penalize him. And they shouldn't be allowed to be mevatel the rishus to him. Kamash Malon, the mission tells us, the Baisa tells us, we don't make a knas and we allow the bittul to take place. Case number 3, Ubei Shele Yirvu. We have 2 people who don't have an Erev. Noisin rishus on the Shnaim Shirvu. They can be Noisin rishus to another 2 members of the Chatzu who have an Erev. So what is the Chiddush here? The Chiddush here is twofold. According to Rabba, who holds that you need to make bittul to all members of the Erev arrangement, L'Rabba Tana Seifa L'Gluy Reisha. This halacha of the Braisa is an indication, is a Gili Milsa, that generally speaking, you have to do bittul to all members of the Erev. You have to go over to each one individually. And this explains how do we see that? Because it's very clear in this halacha that two that made an Erev are going to be nesu mishus l'shnayim she'iru. You have to make a bittul to each one. So although they have an Erev, you have to approach each one independently. And that will indicate for us, explain for us why in the ratio, in that first case, there's no need to, for that person to be mevatel to both of the Erev arrangement, because we're speaking about apparently that one of them is no longer here. And according to Rabbah's interpretation. So Rabbah maintains that this halacha in the Braisa is here to serve the following purpose, to teach us the true meaning of that first halacha in the Braisa. Meaning the halacha here that clearly tells us that when you do Erev to two people who made it, whom you do bittul to two people who have an Erev, you're required to approach both of them, indicates to us that that is the rule of thumb. And apparently, when the ratio in that first halacha told us that there's no need to be mevatel to both of them, Bryce said if you have three people, one of them didn't take part in the Erev, he can approach one of the other two and do bittul. Why is that enough? Apparently, because we're speaking about that the other person is not here, passed away. So that's the chiddush according to Rab. Le'abaye. However, according to Abaye, this pshat doesn't work, because according to Abaye, even this case here that we just mentioned does not indicate at all that there's a need to do bittul to all members of the Erev arrangement. As Abai told us earlier, that when the Braisa here says two people that didn't make an Erev are going to be Noisim Rishus, L'shnayim She'irvu, doesn't mean to both of them. L'echad. L'echad Nibes. It's enough to go to one of those two and do the bittul. So, according to Abai, what's the chiddush of this halacha here? Braisa says two people that didn't make an Erev can give their Rishus to people who made an Erev. Seems to be a pretty standard halacha here. Says the Gemara, La'abaye beishle irvu tzrichle. The Braisa needs to inform us that even in this case, bittul work. Even when we have two people who didn't make an Erev and they're looking to be mevatel rishus, it's going to work. Why should I think otherwise? Salgadai chamina. Perhaps there would be room to think. Ligzer, let's make a gzer. Dilma osi liftulilu. This may lead to confusion. People will say, Look at those two people that didn't make an Erev, and they're going to be mevatel the Rishus to other people. So perhaps just as they can hand over the Rishus, they can be the recipients of bittul as well. And we know that's not the case, because when two people don't have an Erev, they can't be mekabel Rishus. We learned that yesterday, because they interfere with each other. So perhaps one thing will lead to the next. We allow them to be mevatel. This will lead to them being mekabel, receiving bittul from others, and that doesn't work. Kamash Malan, the Braisa teaches us, there's no such concern. And now we have the fourth halacha, Oy le'echa shel Erev. If we have two people that don't have an Erev, they can go ahead and be mevatel their rishus to a third person sitting in the chatzar, who likewise didn't make an Erev. Now, what is the chiddush here? It seems to be a very clear-cut, straightforward halacha. Lamali, why is it need to discuss this halacha? Perhaps, I would think, you know when we allow bittul to take place? When at least somebody in the chatzar made an Erev. But in a case where nobody made an Erev, such as in this last case where we have three people being in the chatzar, nobody made an Erev. Right? We have two people who didn't make an Erev, they went to move out to the third person who didn't make an Erev. So perhaps in this case, liknesinu, Chacham will make a knas. We don't allow this bittul to take place and to allow carrying. Kadei shalei tishtakach teres erev. So as to ensure that the children, remember about the concept of erev. Look, this place doesn't have an erev whatsoever. They're just using the bittul option to allow carrying. Nobody bothers making erev. People will forget about the whole concept of erev. So perhaps that would be a reason to prevent the bittul from taking effect. Kamashmalan, the Brisa teaches us, no, we don't have that concern. And Bittel can work even in this case. So we just concluded the four cases of the Reish of the Brisa, in which case, which all the cases, the Bittel will work. Now we're going to proceed to the Seif of the Brisa. We have three scenarios where Bittel doesn't work. Aval. So this is case number five. Aval ein echad she'irif. Noisen reshusei le'echad she'irif. But a person who made an Erev. So we have Reuven and Shimon who have an Erev. Reuven, who made an Erev, cannot go ahead and approach a third person, Levi, and be mevatel reshus. Now why is that? Because he has a partner. He has already shared his possessions, his usage rights with a partner. So in order for the Bittel to be valid, both partners need to transfer their reshus. Not enough that one of them transfers. He's not the sole owner of those usage rights. Therefore, the Brisa says that this person, one person, the main heir, cannot go ahead on his own and be mevatel reshus to another person that didn't have an heir. So what is the chiddush here? It says in the Abaye, Tana Sefer, L'Gli Reisha. This seems to be a straightforward halacha. What was the chiddush here? So the Gemara explains like this. According to Abaye, the chiddush is like this. That the Sefer, meaning this halacha that I just mentioned, and the reason, the basis of this halacha being that there's another person here, there's another participant in the Erev. We have two people that took that main Erev. And that's why one of them can't on his own do Bittel. This indicates to us, Tana Seif El Gli Reisha, this indicates to us that whenever we speak about people having made an Erev in this Brisa, we're speaking about a case where the both of the participants of that Erev are present, are alive. Because that's the reason why this halacha won't work. Because he has a partner here. He can't do it on his own. So this is a Gilui's indication to the Reisha as well. All the way back in the beginning of the Brisa, case number one, which was the point of contention between Abaye and Rava. Right? That case where we had three people in the Chatzar, and Reuven would like to make Bittel to Shimon and Levi, who made an Erev. And the Brisa tells us, all he needs to do is approach one of those two people, let's say Shimon, doesn't need to approach Levi. And Abaye brought a right from there, that we see that you can make Bittel to people that have an Erev, simply by going over to one of them. So Rabbi said, well, we're speaking that the other person is no longer here. And Abaye said, no, the person is here, and it's still enough to go over to one of them. He says, Abaye, this Sefer, this halacha that we just mentioned, which is evidently speaking where both members of the Erev are present, is an indication that the whole Brisa is speaking about that all the members of the Erev are present, including that first case in the Brisa, and despite the fact that both Erev members are alive, it is enough to be mevatel to one of them, and this supports Abaye's shita. So that's the point of this most recent halacha in the Brisa. Again, the case was that Reuven and Shimon made an Erev. The Brisa says, it's not enough that Reuven will approach the other person, the third person, Levi, and be mevatel, because he has a partner, he has Shimon, who's present. So this halacha is coming to teach us that the Erev participants are present. So this is according to Abaye. The Rabbah, however, according to Rabbah, who holds that in that first case over there, back in the beginning of the Brisa, the reason why Bittel works to only one of those two Erev members is because the other person is no longer here. He was mace, passed away. So he doesn't have a bias need to indicate, to demonstrate from the Sefer. So what's the chiddush of the Sefer? Why discuss this case, which seems to be a very straightforward case? We have two people that made an Erev. It's not enough that one of them should give over their shus. He's not his sole owner. He has a partner here. So what's the chiddush here? So it's like, well, you're right. There's no chiddush here. But L'Rabba, I did Tana Reisha, Tana Nami Seif. Since in the Reisha, we had a similar case, just in the reverse, where a person who didn't make an Erev can be mevatel reshus to somebody that did make an Erev. So that's why the Brisa, the Sefer, this is the manner of the Brisa to just go ahead and switch the case in the reverse and list it, include it in the list. That in the reverse case, it won't work. If we have a person that didn't make an Erev, cannot be mevatel to a person that didn't make an Erev. Fine, there's no real chiddush here. It's just on account of the Reisha, we go ahead and we list this case as well. Proceeds the Gemara with the sixth case in the Brisa. However, two people that made an Erev, they can't go ahead and be mavatal to another two people who don't have an Erev. Why is that? Very simple, because you can't receive Rishus when you have interference. The two receivers here are interfering each other because they don't have an Erev amongst themselves. Says Masulamali. What's the chiddush here? Isn't that pretty straightforward halacha? That two people living in a chatzar cannot carry unless they go ahead and establish an Erev. Says Malit Srich, apparently we're speaking about a case where the batalei chadim nayu l'chavrei. That, let's say we have four people, Reuven and Shimon, who have an Erev, and they'd like to pass on their rishus to Levi and Yehuda, right? Another two people don't have an Erev. And Levi will give over whatever he receives to Yehuda. After Levi and Yehuda receive the rishus from Reuven and Shimon, Levi is going to turn around and pass everything over to Yehuda. He's going to do a bittul to Yehuda. So at the end of the day, there's only going to be one person in the chatzer, one sole property owner. There's no interference. So perhaps in this case it would work. One of those two is going to be mivatel to his friend. Perhaps. I would think that it works. That at the end of the day it becomes mutter for that last person, for Yehuda. Kamash Malon. The Brisa here is teaching us that this doesn't work. Why not? Kiv and the battle. Since at that point in time, when the other members were being mevatel to these two people, so Levi, not having any usage rights in the chatzar, he can't carry. Because at that point, he had interference from Yehuda here. Because Levi and Yehuda both received the property from Reuven and Shimon. So since at that point, he had no practical allowance in this chatzar, loy, it doesn't work, because he never really got anything. He never really got anything to pass on. So this is a carbon copy of the Gemara we had yesterday in Samach Tes. So the chiddush here is that it will not work, even though ultimately everything is ending up by Yehuda. But since along the way, when Levi received his portion, he couldn't do anything with it. He couldn't use it because he had interference from Yehuda. We consider it as though he didn't get anything. So you got nothing and can't pass on anything, and the whole arrangement doesn't work. So that's the chiddush of this halacha. And finally, halacha number 7 is ve'ein shnayim shlei irvu. Likewise, two people that didn't make an erev cannot go ahead and be nois and rishus on the shnayim shlei irvu to give it over to two people who don't have an erev. Hasulamali. Why this halacha? It seems to be a repetition of the previous one. The bottom line is that the receivers don't have an erev, so they interfere with each other. And they can't carry. Lomeli, why does the Brisa need to list this case? Like Tzrich, apparently we're speaking about a case, the Amri Kni Al Mas Lachnis. That initially when Reuven and Shimon did bittul to Levi and Yehuda, they specifically told Levi, let's say, you're not the final destination of our property rights. You're merely a transit point. Kni, acquire. Al Mas Lachnis, on condition that you pass it on to Yehuda. So that's the final goal here. So perhaps in this case it would work, because although at the point where Levi is receiving the property from the Mevatlim, he can't really use it, perhaps that's not important. It's irrelevant because he's not meant to use it in any case. He's meant to pass it on to Yehuda. He's just serving as a shliach for Reuven and Shimon. So perhaps in this case it would work. The Brisa comes and teaches us, no, it doesn't work, because at the end of the day he needs to take it to pass it on. He has nothing to take, because he can't use the bittul, he can't use the chatzar at this point, since he has interference from Yehuda. Okay, so in summary, we had a shaila, the rabbi asked, when you're making bittul to people who have an erev, do you need to go over to each one individually, or is it enough to approach one of them? Rabbi told him, if you're doing the bittul on Shabbos, you need to approach each one independently. Abaye maintains, no, it's enough to go over to one of them, and Rashi explains, because the kulu havukachad all regard as one and the same entity. Abaye brought a kasha from Abaye, so which seems to indicate that it's enough to go over to one of them. Rabbah responded, was speaking where the other one is no longer around. So we have a Braisa with seven cases. We have a Reisha discussing four cases where Bittul works. And a Seifa, three cases that Bittul doesn't work. So the Reisha begins with case number one, that one person who didn't make an Erev can be Nosim Rishusoy to one person who made an Erev. So we have three people living in the Chatzar. He can approach one of those two people that made an Erev, Mivatal Rishus. According to Abaye, the Chiddushir is that all he needs to do is approach one of those two people. According to Rabbah, we're speaking where there's only one around, the other one passed away. And the Chiddushir is that we're not concerned that if we allowed in this case, it's going to be allowed in the case where all people are around. There's no reason to make this clear. That's the Chiddush of this halacha. Next case was two people that made an Erev can be mevatel to one person who hadn't made an Erev. What is the Chiddush here? That we don't say, well, if you didn't make an Erev, we'll make a Knas. You can't be Mekabel Rishus. No, we don't make that Knas. Next case was two people that didn't make an Erev can be mevatel to two people that have an Erev. What is the Chiddush here? Perhaps one might think that there's room for concern that if two people that didn't make an Erev can be mevatel, the next time they'll receive Bittul from somebody else. And that can't happen because they didn't have an Erev. They interfere with each other. The Chiddush is we're not concerned about that eventuality. The fourth case was two people that don't have an Erev can be mevatel to one person who doesn't have an Erev. And the Chiddush is, although nobody in this Chatzar made an Erev, perhaps there's room for concern that the Erev concept we've totally forgotten. And we shouldn't allow Bittul to serve as an alternative in this case. Chiddush is, we don't apply that concern and we allow the Bittul to be activated. We proceeded with a Seifa that gave us three cases where Bittul doesn't work. A person that made an Erev cannot be Mevatel to a person that doesn't have an Erev. And the reason here is because the person that made an Erev has a partner. So unless both partners are Mevatel, the Erev doesn't work. The next case discussed a scenario where two people who made an Erev cannot be Mevatel to two people that don't have an Erev. The Chiddush here was that the receivers that don't have an Erev, although they interfere with each other, but we're speaking where one of them ultimately was Mevatel everything to the other person. So leaves everything in the hands of one person. Still it doesn't work because at the point in time when the two people received the Bittul, none of them were able to use that Bittul. They couldn't carry the Chatzah, so they didn't really receive anything. So even though one of them turns around and is Mevatel to the other, he doesn't have anything to give over. Therefore, it doesn't work. The final case was, when two people that didn't make an Erev would like to make Bittul to another people that don't have an Erev, it doesn't work as well. The Gemara says, the Chiddush here is, even though when they were Mevatel, they told this person, look, take the allowance, take the Rishus, on condition that you pass it on to your friend. So it's not really meant to stay there. It's meant to end up by that last person. Chiddush here is it won't work because when he receives it, he has no use for it. He can't use it because there's interference from the other person. Therefore, he hadn't really gotten anything and he can't pass it on further. Continues the Gemara. Bo mine Rava Rav Nachman. So Rava asked the following Shaila of Rav Nachman, Yerish, somebody who inherited property on Shabbos, Mao Shivat Roshus, can he do Bittul on Shabbos? Explains Rashi down on the bottom line, Yerish Sheshachach Aviv V'Lo'irev. His father forgot to make an Erev before Shabbos, Umeis B'Shabbos, and he passed away on Shabbos itself, V'Lo'i Bittul Roshusoy, nor did the father make Bittul. So now the Yerish is the property owner. Mao Shivat Roshus, can he do Bittul? Why would I think he shouldn't be able to do Bittul? Explains the Gemara. Hey, Chadi boy Leruven Me'esma, Motzi Ma'arev. We have a person who, if he would want to make an Erev yesterday, he can do so. For instance, his father, who can do an Erev. He could have done an Erev before Shabbos. So perhaps over there, Bituli Nami Motzi Ma'avatel. He also has the ability to make Bittul. Aval Ahai, in contrast to this fellow here, Kivan Di boy Leruven Me'esma. Since, should he have wanted to make an Erev with his property from before Shabbos, Loi Matzil Ma'arev, he couldn't do so, but it wasn't his. So perhaps since he didn't have Erev option, he doesn't have Bittul option as well. Loi Matzil Ma'avatel, he can't do Bittul, because Bittul is merely one element within the larger context of this Erev experience. So if you have ability to make Erev, you have the ability to make Bittul. But this Yerush, who came onto the scene on Shabbos itself, he didn't have the ability to make Erev. So perhaps he can't do Bittul. Or perhaps Yerush Karidavohu. A Yerush, a person who inherits, is considered to be like the foot of his father. Now, I'm not specifically speaking about a son or a father, any type of Yerush. It's just a mashal here, that a person who inherits is considered to be like a continuation of the person who inherited the property to him. It's one continuous entity. So although he himself wasn't around on Erev Shabbos, he couldn't make an Erev, but since the Meirish, in this case the father, could have made an Erev, we consider the father and the son like one continuous entity, and the son has the same privileges as the father had. So that was the kasha poser of Nachman, and he responded like this, Amar Le. So Nachman responded to Rava, Ani Oymer Mevatel. I maintain that the Yerush can be Mevatel. I hold that the Yerush can be a continuation of the father. V'hani de Beishmol Tanu Ein Mevatel. However, those in the Beis Medrash Shmuel, they learned that, no, you can't do Bittel. Apparently they held like the first side of the equation here, that unless you have the full ability to make Erev, you can't do Bittul. Says the Gemara, so Rava challenged Rav Nachman from a Braisa, which seems to indicate that you cannot do Bittul on Shabbos in this case. The Braisa says, Zakal, this is a general rule. Kol Shemutal mixes Shabbos. When something was already mutter for part of Shabbos, so when Shabbos arrives, this place is mutter betiltal, that heter remains throughout. Hutal Chol Shabbos, it remains mutter throughout Shabbos, even if something changed along Shabbos. Kol Shemutal mixes Shabbos. And conversely, whenever we have something which became usur, even for a portion of Shabbos, so when Shabbos arrives, this place was usur to carry, even if something changed throughout Shabbos, nesel chol Shabbos, the isur remains throughout Shabbos. Because these halachas become activated and established during that onset point of Shabbos, during Ben HaShemashes, and it won't change. Chutz, except for one case, where although it was usur at the beginning of Shabbos, it can change and become mutter, mivatul rishus. The person decides on Shabbos, to mivatul rishus. Say we have a case where there was no proper Erev done because one of the people here wasn't a participant in the Erev. They couldn't carry. It was Asur. But then that changes. Because after he makes Bittul, suddenly you can carry throughout the Chatz. So that's an exception. Explains the Gemara. Kol Shotam Mixas Shabbos. Bittul Chol Shabbos. The Braisa tells us that when there was a Heter for a portion of Shabbos, that Heter remains throughout Shabbos. What is an example? Kigoyin Erev Derech HaPesach V'Nistam HaPesach. They made an Erev through a doorway. We have a chatzar on either side of a wall, and there's a Pesach in between, provides access from one to the other, which allows them to join together and make an Erev. So they made that Erev through the Pesach, but on Shabbos, and this time Pesach, it got blocked off. There's no more access. Well, the Erev still remains intact. Or Erev derech chaloyin, v'nistam chaloyin, they made an Erev through a window, and the window got blocked up. The Erev still remains in place, even though there's no real convenient access point between one chatzar and the other. That's the concept. Once we have a heter, it remains throughout Shabbos. Now the Braisa began with the word zaklal. This is a general rule. It usually comes to include another case, another halach. Zaklal lasuye. What is it coming to include? Another case where it was mutter for part of Shabbos and the heter remains. Mavui. A mavui where they would like to carry and they establish the kaira, the crossbeam, the lechi, and somehow on Shabbos, a wind came along and blew it away. Were taken away. We say, well, even in this case that the mechitza here disappeared, the kair, the lechi, the heta will still remain throughout Shabbos. What about the second part of the braisa? Kol shenesel mixas Shabbos, nesel chol Shabbos kula. What's an example? When there was an iser applied for part of Shabbos, that iser will remain throughout. Kigoyin, for instance, shnei batim, mishnei tzidur shesurav. We have a Rosh Hashanah and a house on either side. So the place between them is not really enclosed. There's only two mechitzas there. V'kifum nachar mechitza b'Shabbos. Goyim came along and they enclosed this area. They placed another two mechitzas. So we have a Rosh Hashanah, a house on either side. And the Goyim placed another two mechitzas to complete this enclosure. And the halacha here is that you can never carry in that area throughout this Shabbos. Why? Because even if the people in the houses who have access to this enclosed area would like to make bittul, it won't work because this place was not enabled for anything at the onset of Shabbos. It was an open Rosh Hashanah. Erev couldn't apply there. Therefore, you couldn't do Bittul there either. So that's what the Braisa means, that when a Isser was applied at the beginning of Shabbos, that Isser remains throughout, such as in this case, where it was asked to carry there, you can't do Bittul on Shabbos to allow carrying into this area. Zaklal, so you might. What are the words Zaklal come into include? Another case of something which began Asr and remains Asr. Lasuye means Nachri b'Shabbos. If a Nachri arrived on Shabbos, and he passed away on Shabbos, so when he arrived on Shabbos, he changes the whole configuration here. It's a new situation. They have to make schiras from him and then do a bittul. So it's a whole new situation, which wasn't here during Erev Shabbos. So even if he passes away, they can't do bittul because this configuration was not here during Ben HaShemashes. So that's an example where you have Isser that was there at the onset of Shabbos and remains throughout Shabbos. And the Braisa concludes by saying, we have one exception. Uktani, the Braisa says, Chutz Mivatal Rishus, that whenever something was Asr for part of Shabbos, it remains Asr, except when a person who forgot to make an Erev will do Bittul on Shabbos. That's okay. So we have a Diyak here. Ihu in. Only if the person himself, who could have made an Erev, does Bittul work. But Yoyresh loy. But a person who is a Yoyresh and arrives on Shabbos, he can't do Bittul because he didn't have the ability to make Erev. This is the Kasha of Nachman. Says, well, no, don't make that Diyak. Rather, say as follows. Ema, say, Chutz mitoyres Bittul Rishus. We're coming to accept the Torah's Bittul Rishus, the concept of Bittul. Meaning, the concept of Bittul can take place on Shabbos, whether it's the person himself, whether it's his Yerush, his son. And according to Rav Nachman, who maintains that even a Yerush can do Bittul on Shabbos. Okay, before we proceed to the next Kasha, let's just take a quick summary of this Braisa. The Braisa told us when something was Mutal Mixas Shabbos, it remains Mutal entire Shabbos. We have two examples. When they made an Erev through a doorway and got closed up on Shabbos, the Erev remains in place. Or a Mavi, which was Mutta to carry due to the fact that it had Lechi V'Kaira. And the Lechi V'Kaira were taken away on Shabbos. It remains Mutta. When something was Asr at the onset of Shabbos, it remained Asr throughout. What are two examples? It was a realm which was surrounded on Shabbos itself. Or a case where a Goy arrived and passed away on Shabbos. And one exception is Bittul Rishus, which can change the Halacha even on Shabbos itself and make it Mutta. Continues the Gemara Eisvei, Suravi Esrav Nachum, another Kasha. The Braisa says, Echad Mibnei Chatzar. Shemes, one of the Chatzar members who passed away, v'niach rishusay, and left over his property within the Chatzar, he left it le'echad min ashuk, for somebody that is a non-Chatzar member. So what is the halacha here? Mi ba'idyoim, if this happened before Shabbos arrived, oyser, that person who's now the property owner, makes it asr upon all the other members of the Chatzar, because he didn't participate in an Erev with them. Mishach ha'sheicha. But if it only happened after nightfall, after Shabbos arrived, any oyser. He doesn't make it oyser because the person who formerly owned this property had already made an Erev in this chatzar, and that Erev, which has been established during the onset of Shabbos, remains intact throughout Shabbos. Continues the Braisa, Ve'echad min ha'shuk shemeis. What if there was somebody living outside this chatzar who had property in this chatzar and he passed away? Ve'niach rishusay le'echad min chatzar. And he left over his property inherited to the one of the members of this chatzar. So what's the halacha here? Mi ba'idyoim, if this happened before Shabbos, any oyser. He doesn't make it oyser because the receiver, the current owner of this property, who is a chatzar member, will include this property in his erev as well. Mishach ha'sheicha. But if this happened after nightfall, after Shabbos, in which case this property was not included in the erev of the chatzar, oyser. He makes it oyser on the other members of the chatzar because we have a property here which was not included in the erev. Says, what's the problem? Am I oyser? Why is he making us levatel? This person who inherited this property on Shabbos itself, according to you, Rav Nachman, he can do bittul and make it mutter. Says, well, you're right. My oyser, nami the ketani. You know what the Raisa means when it says that he's oyser? Achi levatel, up until the point that he does bittul. But if he chooses to be levatel, he can do so even though he arrived on Shabbos. Because I hold that a son is considered to be one continuous entity with the father. And then Farshim point out, son not only pertains to a son, any yerush. He's merely taking over the property and the same dinim that applied to the father, who had the ability to make Erev, and therefore had the ability to make Bittul, apply to the son. He can do Bittul even in this case. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. We began with a shaila that Abaye asked Rabbah. When a person is being mevatel's rishus to others who have an Erev, do we say, well, they're one entity, and therefore even though he approaches them on Shabbos, he needs only to be mevatel to one of them, and that becomes activated for all of them? Abaye says yes. Rabbi says, no, you need to go over to each one individually to do the bittul. We proceeded with Rabbi asking Rav Nachman a question regarding a Yerush that arrived on Shabbos. Can he do bittul? Or perhaps since he had no ability to do Erev, he can't do Bittul. The Beis Medrash of Shmuel held, no, he can't do Bittul. Whereas Rav Nachman held, yes, he can, because a Yerush is Kari Devor. A son is a foot of his father. He's a continuation. He's considered to be one and the same entity, and therefore he has the ability to make Bittul just as his father did.